When preparing this message, there was this song that echoed in my head, and you know, we should stay in our gifts. And I know I'm not a singer, but how God tied it in so well with the message. And perhaps some of you familiar with that song where he talks about that I had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And I've had some lonely nights. But oh, when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. So I won't complain. Sometimes my clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Even when I cannot see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. You know, God is good all the time. And the rest of the time, he's great. Greetings. I stand and I give you honor. I give honor to God, who is the head of the great Christian church. I bring you greetings from Abba's house in Hickson, Tennessee, where the senior pastor, Dr. Ron Phillips. I thank God for Pastor Ronnie and this invitation to be here. May God continue to bless him in the service as he continues to do the work. And I thank God for you, for your faithfulness, for your steadfastness, for your spirit of unity, and the freedom that I feel in this home. I feel at home this morning. Like Paul that said, I have longed to come be with you. And now I see that day has arrived. So I thank God for you. Pastor Ronnie, he told me that he was getting ready to start a series or a teaching on a life of consecration. And he wanted me to preach however the Lord leads in that area. The word consecrate is a 14th century word. It's a Latin word that means sacred. It means to dedicate somebody or someone to a particular purpose, to be set apart as holy. So I ask that you would pray with me that may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in his sight. Let's pray. Father, we have gathered here this morning at this sacred hour, totally depending on you. So we surrender right now, and we ask that you would lower us down into the treasures of your word. Reveal unto us that which we need to gain more understanding about you. We ask this morning, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will conform us more and more to the likeness of your Son. Oh, Father God, may your word go forth this morning. May it bring a word of encouragement, but also conviction. We pray, Father God, that your guardian angels will set up a hedge of protection at every window and every door and every obstacle that may cause a distraction. we realize that Satan would try to block this word from going forth. But Lord, we ask this morning that you open up deaf ears and you would cause blind eyes to see the truth of your word. Oh, we pray this morning for Truth Tabernacle. We pray that, Father God, that your hand will continue to be upon them. And may your sovereignty and your grace continue abide in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 15 and 16. May we stand in honor of the Word of God. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 15 and 16. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifice, God is pleased. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confesses his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased. This morning, I speak to you from a thought, a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. A sacrifice that is pleasing to God. Thank you, Lord. As we focus on this text this morning, we find that the Word of God gives us some instructions. Our instructions is for us to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Now, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, it tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I have lived long enough in this life and saw the mistakes that I would have made if it wasn't for the grace of God, who gave me direction. Is anybody in here but me? See, there is no doubt I need his instructions. And you who is loved by the Lord, you need his instructions too. See, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's Proverbs 14 and 12. See, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Proverbs 5 and 23. without God's instruction, our lives would be thoughtless, irrational. We would have a life with a reckless behavior. I hope this morning that you understand the instructions that Paul, the writer of Hebrews, understood when writing this text. Paul realized, and he points out to us, the only way we can continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise is through Jesus. God has to do a work in our hearts, and that work is done through Jesus Christ. I'm in the Word. Do you see that in your Bibles? Before there is a therefore, look at your text. There has to be a through Jesus. Therefore, you did it. It means he was the reason. So consequently, you are able to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise because of Jesus. Is that clear? See, when God asks us to do something, he does not leave us to do it alone. The Word, it teaches us in Philippians 4 and 13 that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In other words, I am able to do all things through him who gives me the strength. See, Jesus, he gives us a helper, a comforter, who comes alongside of us, the Holy Ghost. And it is by him and because of him that we are able to do what God has asked us to do. Without him, Isaiah 64 and 6 tells us, we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. If it wasn't for Jesus disrobing himself of his heavenly splendor and clothing us in his righteousness, no sacrifice that we offer to God would ever be pleasing. See, it's important for us to learn this. See, I know that life is full of lessons. And God either has us in school, on our way to school, or just finishing school. And our graduation day, it will not come until we take our last breath. But before we get there, we got to learn this, that the only way that we can offer to God a sacrifice that is pleasing to him is through Jesus. Wow. It's important for us to learn that the Lord is to be obeyed. When he gave us those instructions, he didn't give them to us just as a suggestion, but he gave it to us, like we heard earlier, for righteousness' sake. Even in our troubled days, and we will have some in our life, there is no exception. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. But the Lord is to be obeyed. Can you hear me? See, Job in 14 and 1, he warns us that a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and lots of trouble. But be of good cheer, my brothers and sisters. Praise him anyway, because Jesus has overcome this world, and greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world. I'm talking to somebody in here who is going through something right now. And you made it all the way to church this morning, but you haven't taken the time to praise him. My Lord. Didn't he wake you up this morning? Well, you ought to praise him. Didn't he bring you from a mighty long way? Well, you ought to praise him. You know he has kept you from danger, seen and unseen. You ought to praise him. Come on, Truth Tabernacle. Lift up your voice. He's worthy of our praise. Didn't he give you food on your table? Didn't he put a roof over your head? Didn't he give you a reasonable portion of your health and strength? You know he's worthy of our praise. My, my, my. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Because the Bible said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, but I'm afraid, my brothers and sisters. I'm afraid that so many of us, so many of us, when it comes to the voice, the fruit of our lips, we're like Jonah. Well, let me show you this parallel. See, make no mistake. Jonah was a saved servant of God. But he, like us, all have seasons when we attempt to go against the will of God. See, we have our own plans and we'll devise our own schemes and we'll do anything and everything to get there. We're so rebellious, won't hear anybody. We'll do what we want to, even when we know it's killing us. Please hear me. Anytime you follow the dictates of the flesh, you well on your way to a crash course that's going to end up in a whale's belly classroom. See, that was the classroom of God's choice for Jonah. And a lot of us, when we hit the bottom, it's his choice for us. Because it's in his mercy, it's in his grace that he speaks to us and he works on us. When the listening to the flesh will get you deep in debt, it will get you deep into wrong relationships. It will get you deep into trouble. And when you are sinking deep in sin, when you are far from the peaceful shore, when you have been deeply stained within, when you are seeking to rise no more, my Lord, you heard that. Then all of a sudden, from the depths of your pit, you will open up your mouth and you'll use your voice. And just as Jonah did, and as Jonah declared in Jonah 2:9, because he said, but I will sacrifice unto you with a voice of thanksgiving. See, we see a conjunction here. The Jonah that was is not the Jonah that is. See, in verse 1 of chapter 1, all God asked Jonah to do was go to Nineveh and use his voice. All right. And I stopped by here to tell you today, all God wants you to do is just use your voice. Right. To praise him, to magnify him, to exalt him, to lift him up, because he's worthy to be praised. And that type of a sacrifice is what's pleasing to our God. When God brings you out of the pit, he don't have to beg you to say thank you. Have I got any witness? How many been in some mess? And you knew without a shadow of a doubt, if the Lord hadn't reached down and pulled you out, where would you be? Oh, I thank you. He's a deliverer. God has a way of getting us to open up our mouths. And if we won't, the rocks will. And I don't need no rock to take my place, because the Rock of Ages have already done it. My, my, my. Paul, he reminds us that when we open our mouths, it needs to be the fruit of lips. It's in the text. It's in there. That when we open our mouths and we allow our tongues to begin to move, that the words that flow forth should be fruit from our lips. Oh, you heard the Bible talk about fruit. Over in Galatians, when it talks about the fruit of the, oh yeah, those who worship him, got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Come on, I like that. We talk about the Galatians in 5 and 22. Our words should be seasoned, and they should be full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of long-suffering, full of gentleness, full of goodness, and full of faith. Ah, that's the type of words should flow from our mouth. We must use our tongues wisely, the summit said. Whoever of you who loves and desires to see many good days will keep your tongue from, wow, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. So used to those translations, from speaking guile, as the King James would put it. If you, what I'm simply saying is, if you desire and you long for long life, if you want long life, the Bible instructs us, then what we ought to do is keep our lips from speaking evil. We must use our tongues wisely. It doesn't take a whole lot of words to stir up people and to cause trouble. See, saints, you got to be careful what you spew out your mouth. And I'm here to tell somebody that words do hurt, and they're a powerful instrument. We can either use words for good or words for evil. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm speaking to you using the word. Proverbs 18 and 21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Don't give Satan a foothold in your life. I've learned a long time ago, if you don't have nothing good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. Oh, I feel him talking to me. And I don't have no watch, so you're going to have to wave at me. My Lord. Oh, he's warming me up. Oh, we ain't going to get the meddling, though. Stay in the word. James said, the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. It can get you into a whole lot of trouble. Talk to me, somebody. We need to guard what we say. In our home, sometimes husbands need to just shut up. Sometimes our kids, they need to just shut up. We got to be careful. Sometimes wives need to be just shut up. My Lord. James said this. If we don't guard our tongues, what we say and how we praise will not be pleasing to God. See, James 3 and 8 tells us this. He says that no man can tame the tongue. All kinds of animals and creatures of the sea have been tamed by man. I mean, you can tame a monkey, you can tame a dog, you can tame a snake, but you cannot tame the tongue. Whoa, hold up, somebody. I know somebody who can tame the tongue. I know somebody who can tame the tongue. It's the Holy Ghost. Won't the Holy Ghost control the tongue? If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he can control that tongue. I'll tell you, I know somebody. The Holy Ghost can tame it. The Holy Ghost, he has the power to control the tongue. And it takes the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts, the first demonstration of the power and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was concerning the tongue. You know, you may never speak in tongues, but you need to learn how to hold it. I don't care. But words hurt. Often heard him say, sticks and stone will break my bones, but names will never. That's a lie. Amen. Names do hurt. Amen. The voice is what Paul points out to us in this text of how to have a life that is pleasing to God. And then that's a victory. He talks about this is what God is well pleased with. I'm not going to be much longer. Do not forget to do good and to share with others. Wow. He put that in there. Do not forget to do good. You know, we got some people, bring it home. We got some family that has amnesia. All right. Y'all got any, you loan them some money? Oh, come on. We got some people in the church with amnesia. Walk by you every Sunday and forget. The Bible reminds us, it puts it there and says, don't forget to do good and to share with others. You know, Jesus put it this way. Our example is set from. In Matthew 25 and 40, Jesus said this, when the king replied, I'll tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers, of mine, you did it for me. Whatever you do for the least, you do it for me. You know, I take that to heart. And just recently, I'm an installer. I tell people that God is my source, but my job is my resource. All right. And so I'm an installer for the fiber optics for the EPB, and what takes place in Tennessee, I started putting extra water in a cooler in my van.
All right, come on.
So that when I'm riding down the road and I see one of those school mothers out there directing traffic. Do y'all have school mothers here? I pull over and say, would you like a drink of cold water? When I see those construction workers that when they're working on the road, those flaggers, I pull over and I, would you like a cold bottle of water? Because you never know. Because the Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers. Because you entertain angels unaware. Jesus said, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When, Lord? When were you thirsty? What you do to the least, you do it unto me. There's a story in the Bible about the Good Samaritan. This young man, as he journeyed, he saw this traveler on the road, and he had compassion for him. And he went to him, and he bound him up. He bound up his wounds. He poured in oil and wine, and he set him on his beast, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the morrow, or the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and he gave them to the host. And he said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. He simply said this. The story that I'm sharing with you right now was, this was a stranger. I mean, you had religious folks. First of all, you had the priest. Oh, sometimes we get so holy, so high and mighty, that we'll walk right past the bar and leave the drunk wallowing in his own pew. Come on. I don't want to be graphic, but I want you to see that sometimes we get too holy to where, oh, is that a such thing as too holy? That's a word for that. Thank you, Lord. You have to get to know me before I say it. Now, sometimes we walk right past those who are in the most need of us. And so after the priest walked by and he justified it, said, I don't supposed to touch no dead thing. Or nothing like that. I got to stay clean because of my position. All right. And then came another spiritual man that said, saw him. And he crossed over on the side of the road and ignored him. But it took that good Samaritan to come alongside, saw that traveler. Now, wait a minute. The Bible made it clear. The man was there not because of fault of his own, but robbers had came in and beat him and knocked him down. I'm just simply telling you today, you don't know that in your path, somebody could have been knocked down and God is using you as a good Samaritan to come along to pick that person up. Oh, it could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be a marital relationship, a teen pregnancy. And the list go on and on. It could be an abandoned wife. An abused husband. They're out there. We see them all the time. Be that good Samaritan. So Jesus asked this question, and he said, which one showed the mercy on him? Beloved, I pray you never have to stand before him and he asks you why you didn't show mercy. And they answered him. And then he said this, "You go and you do likewise." The truth of the message. Not to forget to do good and to share with others. So Luke 6 and 38 tells us to give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I love that when it talks about David, when he says, "My cup runneth over." Sometimes when it comes to giving, and when it's come to receiving, we bring one of those communion cups. I mean, when it's time to supersize it. I'm serious. Didn't the Word of God tell us that He would open up the windows of heaven and He would pour us out a blessing, pressed down, shaken together in such a manner that we won't even have room for it? Do y'all remember the story of the widow that had the one barrel and He told her, say, "Go and gather your barrels"? And she went to her neighbors and she borrowed the barrels. And as long as the man of God stood there, the barrels continued to get full until what? She ran out of barrels. And when she ran out of barrels, the oil stopped. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. He said, "Remember this. Whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. For each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves," I heard y'all say it earlier, "a cheerful giver." Amen. Now don't get that mixed up with your tithes. Don't get it twisted. When it say each man will give what he decides in his own heart, no, that's talking about giving. Tithes and offerings. See, the tithe don't belong to you. You hadn't even started giving until you give an offering. Oh, I got to be sweet. Still a guess. Still a guess. Okay. Praise God. My Lord. I end with this. God knows where we are spiritually. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles. But God is looking for people who will praise Him anyhow. Because He's worthy to be praised. And perhaps with a crowd of this magnitude, there might be someone in here who have accepted the lies of the enemy, who's told you that you're not worthy to praise Him, or you don't deserve to praise Him, or you're not in position to praise Him. You're not good enough to praise Him. You shouldn't praise Him. Oh, you know what you done last night. Remember at the beginning of this text, it's not by you is through him. So right now, take an inventory of yourself. And if there's anything that is blocking you from having that open communication of praising him, now's the time to get it right.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.